This episode of IRM Today is brought to you by Secure Future Tech Solutions, your local IT partner providing information technology solutions. To consult with an IT expert today, call 401-921-2607 or visit them online at securefuturetech.com.
Now on AM 790, it's time for IRM Today, the property management show with hosts Dina Cimarelli and Chrissy Denalian. Join them now for this live call-in show to discuss property management issues and hear from guests from all trades and programs discussing your real estate needs. Here's your hosts, Dina and Chrissy.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to IRM Today, the property management show here on AM 790. Today is Tuesday.
March 7th.
It's March 7th. It's already March.
Finally. It was that one weekend bad storms where I just had enough of Windsor.
You do know that we possibly could have.
I don't want to hear it.
All right. Well, nope. You
don't
cannot hear it, but it doesn't mean it's
don't
not going to happen. So can't just put that under the rug, my friend. So, it's Tuesday, March 7th, 4:07 p.m. And I am Dina Cimarelli here in the studio today with my co-host, Chrissy Denalian.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great.
And we're also joined by Eric Shore.
We are. We have a guest live in studio today. We have Eric Shore with us from Secure Future Tech Solutions. Hi, Eric.
Hey, everybody. Hey. I'm glad to be here.
Glad to have you here. And we're going to talk to Eric a little bit later in the show. We got some good content coming up, some good stuff we're going to discuss. But just in case this is the first time you are tuning in, IRM Today is your live local radio show here every Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And now we do know that there are a lot of these fun syndicated programs on this radio station.
But we're not one of them.
Oh, we're not.
We are fun. Moderately entertaining.
I don't like the word moderately, but I think we're very entertaining.
Very entertaining.
But we are not syndicated.
But we are not syndicated, so everybody can call us if they have questions for us.
They can.
Or Eric. They can give us a call in the studio. Our phone number here is 401-437-5000 or 1-888-345-0790.
That's it. So call us. And IRM, in case you don't know what it stands for, we are the Institute of Real Estate Management, the most professional group in the country for managing real estate. So locally, we're known as, what are we known as?
The Greater Rhode Island Chapter 88.
We are the Great Rhode Island Chapter 88.
The Greater. We're even
the
better
greatest.
Than great.
We're the bestest. And another thing you might be wondering is, what does IRM do? So what do, Chrissy?
We are the source of education and professional recognition for managers of all types of properties. So if you manage an elderly housing building or a single family home or maybe a tenement building or a commercial building, the Institute of Real Estate Management's for you.
It is.
If you're looking for a career in property management, no?
Why are you looking at me when you say
that? I mean, you always talk about wanting to pursue your ARM and CPM.
I mean, well, if this rent path gig doesn't pan out, I mean, I might be. But we'll see. Right now, I like learning. I feel like through you, I could probably be a property manager because
I'm... Through me?
Yeah, just through you.
I whip you into shape over here.
You do.
No.
And I live, you know, weekly through all of your, like,
it's just
woes.
The stories.
Yeah.
The stories.
It scares me and...
In.
Excites me at the same time. Do I want to do it? Do I not want to do it? So, like Chrissy was saying, with managing buildings such as this and looking for a career in property management, we have an education or even a designation that allows you to be recognized mm-hmm. as a professional property manager.
Yes.
And a designation means that you have some sort of credential stating that you are a trained professional in this industry. And we have two of them, right?
We do.
And what
we have
are
two
they?
Of them. The first one is the ARM.
Which you are.
I am.
You
and
are.
It's an accredited residential manager.
Yes,
it's
is.
An arm.
That was pretty funny. You said you have three arms.
I have three arms. I do.
I never thought of that.
Yes. Anyway, it's an ARM.
See, we are entertaining.
I know. We try. Well, we entertain each other.
We do.
I don't know about anybody else.
Do you have a leg as well?
No, we don't.
There's no leg.
There's no acronym
no
leg.
For leg.
Oh, okay.
No. There's a CPM, though.
So, yeah, and that is the Certified Property Manager, which is pretty much, from what we've been told, is equal to a degree from Harvard education.
Yeah, what did Jack say last week? He said something funny.
Oh, he did.
It wasn't creme de la creme, which
no,
is my line.
Yeah,
but...
you usually say creme de la creme. I don't know what Jack said. Well, just like he doesn't listen to us when he's not here, I kind of blocked it out. So that's how I'm going to say that. So now if someone walks into your place of business, thank God he's in Arizona and he's not listening. Watching, he's probably on the app today. Let me listen. Let me stream them.
Shout out to Jack.
Yeah. in another time zone. I don't think he's listening to us. So now if someone walks into your place of business and they state that they are a CPM and they're looking for work, right away you know that this person has been trained properly, professionally, and is backed by a code of ethics. So if somebody was to walk into one of your properties mm-hmm. and they're looking for work and they don't have a CPM, I mean, what would you think?
Get out. No.
Go to IRMRI.org.
I mean, I think that it's very important to get these designations, because even if you think that you know everything about property management, there are things that they'll teach you in the classes that, you know, maybe maybe from a different view or a different perspective,
yeah.
kind of, you know, in the property management field, a lot of us move up on the way up, you know, from leaser to leasing manager to
yes.
assistant manager to property manager. But and you get to certain steps about things where you might learn about a financial aspect of things, but maybe you don't know all the code of ethics part of things or HR.
Maybe something's been
part.
Updated,
right.
you know, from years ago when you were trained and now you can get your designation. And maybe some things are different right. now. Laws have changed or.
Yeah. And
know.
Just talking with other property managers, getting their feedback, talking in the classes there, you know, the classes are based off of the books,
yeah.
but it does give you a chance to interact with other property managers that might be having similar issues or anything with like that.
Like our social events. I was going to say, this is good stuff. And so just, you know, before we talk about that stuff, I did want to mention that we do have a scholarship program within IRM, and that is there to help alleviate some of the costs that come with obtaining your ARM or your CPM designation. And we do cover 75% of
which
your classes,
huge.
Which is fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah.
So even if your company is going to be paying for some of it, I'm sure everybody loves a discount. So,
absolutely.
You can even go and apply for the scholarship, and then your company can only pay for 25% rather than the 100%.
That's right. And in the event that your company won't pay for it, at least you know that you would only have to pay
25%,
which is fantastic.
And they like to tell us all the time, there's money in the scholarships. Please apply.
I know. We have all these fundraisers, and we want to give away this money.
Yes. We want to give it away.
We like to give it away.
So apply. You can even apply for a scholarship. There's forms right on our website, imramri.org.
Yes.
You can go out, fill one out, send it in, get your scholarship. Go get your ARM. Go get your CPM.
And
go, Dina. Go.
See, you taunt me every week. You taunt me. So, yes, like Chrissy said, you can go to IRMRI.org and you can fill it out and you can submit it. And when you submit it, it goes to our fabulous Karen Cuddle.
Yay.
Who is our association executive.
She needs to be on
yes,
one of these weeks.
I know. We need to have her on and Carrie.
Yes. Because
they are just two amazing women who just run IRM.
Yes. They're so much fun, too.
They are. And you can contact Karen directly at 401-479-7734. Let's see what else. So why don't we talk a little bit about Eric? We'll kind
Eric,
of talk
hot,
about yeah, well,
hot seat. He's in the hot seat today.
we'll give you Eric's bio and kind of give you a little history of where he was and where he is now, and then
he'll try to fit out the door after you.
No, he cannot
blow up his head.
No worries.
So let's see. So Eric. In 1992, you founded Secure Future Tech Solutions, and it was originally named PC Troubleshooters. You're an IT company specializing in servicing the small to mid-sized business community throughout Rhode Island and southeastern Massachusetts, as well as eastern Connecticut. Eric has extensive knowledge and experience in network security, cybersecurity, disaster recovery, proactive network monitoring and maintenance, and network video solutions. Eric and his team are proud to service a wide range of business, including property management firms, law firms, nonprofit agencies, and many more. He is often called upon to be the IT expert on PRO AM 630 and WJAR Channel 10. In 2006, well, we actually just found out we had this in common. In 2006, Eric was selected and ranked among the first class of Providence Business News 40 Under 40. Oh, that was the first time that they had offered that?
I think it was officially the second time.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Second class, yeah.
So for those of you who don't know, Providence Business News every year recognizes 40 people under 40 years old, and they basically are acknowledged because of their usually business ownership or high ranking in a company for community involvement, all kinds of great stuff that comes along in your career. And you have to be nominated by somebody in order to even get this award. So somebody nominated you, as they did me, and I found out afterwards who actually nominated me. And then afterwards, you are put into this pool.
Was it each other? Did you nominate each other?
No. Did you know that you get nominated?
Yes, I did. Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
I found out that I'd got nominated because, you know, they called me and I was like, how did I get this prestigious award? And it was actually a really great time down in Newport at the Tennis Hall of Fame. Did you do that?
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a party.
Yeah, we had a big ceremony.
I think it was there. It was a while ago now.
Yeah.
And I wish I was still under 40, by the way.
Yes, yeah, so don't we all.
Yeah. So speak for yourselves over there.
All right, you stop talking. Get her mic. Cut it off. His company was also recognized as a success story by WJAR Channel 10. He also has two case studies published in award-winning PC World magazine, and Eric speaks throughout Rhode Island on the many cybersecurity threats plaguing the small business community and best practices to protect their data. Eric is a Phi Beta Kappa and Summa Cum Laude graduate of the University of Rhode Island.
URI, yay.
That is
go Rhodey.
Oh,
yep.
There you go.
I'm big into URI.
Oh.
Yep.
Are you?
Yes, I'm a URI.
Oh, well, okay. Well, I'm just a 40 under 40 recipient. What do I know? J-Woo. So, Eric.
What an introduction.
That is a great,
yes, thank you.
Great summary.
That's my favorite subject.
That's a, you?
Thank
I
you.
Mean, yeah.
Yeah,
we like,
me.
We, yeah, I mean, who doesn't like to talk about themselves? I mean, that's what we usually do all day long on this show. So I know earlier, well, at commercial, well, before we started, Chrissy, you had asked Eric how he was it,
yeah,
how he came
how did
to
you
be.
Yeah, how did you get started in this in college?
Well, it's actually a really great story. So I went to URI, and my sophomore year, my dad called me up and he said, Eric, you know, I'm not gonna send you any more money. He says, if you want something, get a job. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Wow.
So I'm
thanks,
like,
Dad.
Well, yeah, well, yeah, thanks, Dad. Yeah. So what do I do now?
Get a job.
So they had a job fair on campus at URI. So I went around to all the different, you know, tables. They had dining services. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know about serving up food. That's not really me. And then they had financial aid office. And, I'm really not all that good with numbers. You know, I don't think that's so good for me either. And so finally I came across a guy sitting behind the table in a small department at the time called the Computer Center. And I'm like, oh, I like computers. Computers are kind of cool. Maybe I should look into that. And so the guy's name, Alan was his name. We hit it off. He hired me on the spot. So
nice.
I, for the next 3 years, I ran around campus part-time. I worked as much as I could, which was as a student.
Your dad was real happy about that.
Say, yeah. Dad happy?
You know, I thank my dad. He actually,
yeah,
you know.
Pushed
he gave
you in
me
the
a,
right direction.
He gave me a good work ethic. So thanks, right. Dad, if you're listening out there. And, you know, I ran all around campus. I fixed computers for the president, all the different administrative offices, and that's where I learned my trade. So between my junior and senior year, I started PC Troubleshooter. So I started working off campus for different businesses in Southern Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm. That's nice.
Wow.
That's great. Well, I'm excited to learn more and to find out, you know, what we're going to be talking about today. But actually, right now, we got
to
take a break.
We have to leave.
So why don't you take us out, Chrissy?
Yeah. We'll be right back right after this. You're listening to IRAM Today, the Property Management Show. All right. It is 4:22 here on IRAM Today, the Property Management Show. I'm Chrissy Denalian, along with my co-host, Dina Cimarelli. And we're live here in the studio every Tuesday from 4 to 5. Before we left, we were talking with Eric Shore from Secure Future Tech. Yes.
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 And we were talking a little bit about how you got started. And so from there, from when you got started and you started your business, how did it turn into this business?
Great question. So first of all, we're celebrating our 25th anniversary.
Wow.
So
wow. Were you 10 when you started?
Yeah, exactly. I was 10. Well, I was 21, actually. So now you
wow.
know how old I am.
Wow, yeah.
So,
that's fantastic. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. So I started the business between my junior and senior year in college. And, I've been plugging away ever since. You know, I did take a job at APC, which was right in American Power Conversion, mm-hmm. which is Schneider Electric now.
Yep.
I did work there for 3 years. I worked in second shift there, and so that allowed me to build my business during the day.
When did you sleep?
I didn't really need much
sleep. You don't really need to sleep when you're a business owner. Actually, you can't sleep when you're a business owner.
I was in my early 20s back then. So I mean,
who needed to sleep ever?
I didn't need a lot of sleep back then.
I'm in bed at 9 now.
And, I've been at it ever since. So,
that's great.
we've grown the business significantly over the years. And then we started, as it said in my bio, we started the company as PC Troubleshooters, where if you think about it, back in the early 90s, we didn't have all this technology like we have today.
Yeah.
So I was essentially doing computer repair.
Yeah.
Right.
We didn't really have networks. Instead, we had what's called a sneaker net. So if you needed to exchange a file with someone in your office, you took a floppy drive, you put your sneakers on, and you went to the next desk.
Oh, I was like, I've never heard of that term in my life.
What is this?
Like, is that a different network?
Net, So today, fast forward to today, you know, we rebranded a few years ago thanks to my amazing partner in the business and also my wife, Lisa.
Shout out to Lisa. So nice. Hi, Lisa.
And, you know, she led us through a rebranding campaign 3 years ago where we went from PC Troubleshooters to Secure Future Tech Solutions. And so that really reflects our mission today, which is to, you know, secure businesses and networks.
So you were actually PC Troubleshooters up until 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I held on to it a little too long. You know, I was very partial to the name
You
know, it's something that
I... That's why you started,
I started and I put my life into it.
Yeah, and your wife was like, we're going to change all of this.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm going to rebrand it, new logo, new name.
She's my rock. She really, really helps me make changes.
That's fantastic.
So yeah, we rebranded to reflect our mission today, which and it's been a real amazing ride.
Now, from where you started... A URI, you know, 25 years ago with, you know, PC Troubleshooters to now. What is your thought on the way the technology has evolved just personally within your career? Are you like blown away by where we are today as to where we were 25 years ago?
Yeah.
How does that feel for you being in that for so long, seeing you're so much more intimately involved in the growing technology world than people who aren't touching it daily?
I really started with computers in its infancy, you know, when I was in... you know, grade school, they had one computer in our classroom. This was in the early 80s. And so I've seen the PC evolve from a very basic thing that not very many people had.
Or the green, either the amber screen
or the green screen.
Yep.
And to today, I mean, I really don't think I could have envisioned how fast things are going now because technology has adopted at such a rapid rate today.
Yeah.
You know, for me, technology is still something very fun and exciting, and I love working on it. For, let's say, my kids, I have two daughters. They're 13 and 14 years old, Gabby and Sammy. They were born into this technology age. So for them, it's nothing special.
Right,
it's just essentially just part of who they are in their existence.
Yeah. They
don't
I'll Google that.
So I think they can run circles around me when it comes to the computer.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Just, ever since they were a baby, we had an iPad in their hand or something.
Like mine, who are 6 and 8, and it's the same exact way. It was funny. My daughter said something to me this morning. I don't know what you call it, but you remember growing up and you took like a white piece of paper, like 8.5 by 11, and you made like this origami,
the triangle,
and you pick a number, and then you open up the flap, and it says something. Well, somebody at school made one of those, and this morning while we're getting ready for school, she's like, Mommy, I want to make a new one. Can we make this? And I said, well, maybe tonight because we're getting ready to go to school in the morning. I don't have a lot of time. She goes, you know, I'll just go on YouTube, and I'll find out how to do it. And I turned around, and I said, she's 6 years old, and she knows to go to YouTube and type it in, and she'll know some of the keywords. She'll recognize the video of what, and she sees the icon, the thumbnail, and she'll learn. She'll teach herself. At 6 years old, like, we had none of that.
Go to the library.
Go to the
library.
Go to the encyclopedias.
Google and YouTube. It's your best friend. You can find out how to do anything.
Unbelievable.
Absolutely anything. It's an amazing age that we're living in. It really is because technology is advancing so fast and it's so integrated. I mean, we have refrigerators now that are connected to the internet.
That's so crazy.
You know, that's why, you know, cybersecurity is so essential because we live in a connected world and there's a lot of threats that are out there right now that we need to be very careful about.
Speaking of cybersecurity, you said you had sent something over, which is an interesting little article about Governor Gina Raimondo signing the Rhode Island Identity Theft Protection Act of 2015. Could you tell us a little bit about that and what that entails?
Yeah, so actually this is a law that went into effect last July, so there was a one-year waiting period on it, and no one knows about it. Yeah, but me. I'm spreading the word. But yeah, so essentially what the law says is that, you know, as businesses, we need to protect the data of our customers and then also our employees. And it identifies the data that needs protection as... You know, names, social security numbers, credit card numbers, email addresses, any real kind of personal identifiable information, which every single business in this state has.
Yes. Oh, of course.
Yeah. So this is actually, this law impacts all of us. And it was modeled after a Massachusetts data security law, which went into effect about 5 years ago. And so it's something that we all need to really be aware of.
So how would a local business take it upon themselves to actually protect that? So once they obtain this information, do they have to have some sort of, I don't know, files or some sort of way to keep this in a secure? Is the law going to dictate how they store this and how secure it is?
Well, what the law says is that you have to have what's called a risk-based plan, you know, depending on what your exposure is. So if you have a lot of records, then you have to take a whole different set of precautions versus if you have not so many records as well. You need to take, you know, what's appropriate.
Yes.
But you have to have a plan, a written plan in place, which kind of says how you're going to protect the data. And, you know, we can go into talking, you know, about what exactly is needed.
That's pretty interesting because you would almost think that, like me, I used to own a bakery, so I had my own business and I would have personal information, not social security numbers, but I had home addresses, I had credit card numbers, I had a lot of information that if that would have gotten stolen, you know, I could have potentially got sued. Thankfully, I had insurance, but I would have just, without the law being in place, I obviously just know that I need to protect this, but there was never anything in place stating that I had to.
Yeah, well, now there is, and actually the law has some teeth, so if you have a breach, which means, you know, someone gets into your network at your, you know, or into your computers and steals the data.
Yeah.
If you have a breach, there's two kinds of fines associated with this. There is a reckless violation where a breach occurs, but you didn't really know about, you know, the law, or you didn't know what you needed to do to protect it. If something happens, then it's $100 per record.
Yikes.
Now, the average business has thousands and thousands of records.
Right.
So that fine could really
could
add up.
Somebody.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, if it's a knowing and willful violation, let's say you knew about the law, you knew you had a risky network, and you weren't doing anything to stop hackers.
Gotcha.
The fine doubles. It goes up to $200 per record. So that's actually a pretty hefty fine.
Wow.
And for businesses that have, there are some businesses in this state that have tens of thousands of records, and bigger companies like, you know, Target or Home Depot, they have millions of records, you know, so it could be a pretty serious thing. And I actually think that this law is a really great law because it brings attention to something that we should be doing, and we need to be protecting ourselves against cyber threats.
Oh, yeah. It's so easy. I mean, I can't even tell you how many times my debit card has gotten stolen. It's amazing how they can just get this information. And again, I am very well aware that I do a lot of online shopping, and I just, even my banking's online, everything's online, and I know for the most part everything's insured, and the banks will insure you because I think they can really tell what's theft and what's not theft. I mean, clearly if I'm using my card physically and I'm in Rhode Island, but somebody's purchasing something in California, I can't be in two places at once. So I think there's a way to definitely detect when it's fraud other than when you're just doing something illegal with your own card. But I mean, it's a pain just to start all over again. You know what I mean? Like just to get a new account, get new cards, and
or contact the company and track down everything.
Oh yeah, we've had to do that too. It's not fun.
No.
It's a much bigger picture than that though, because this is you know, there are hackers out there that are making tons of money stealing your data.
That is unbelievable.
Tons of it, and you know, that's something that we all need to be aware of. It's not, you know, a lot of people picture like a teenage hacker in some basement somewhere. That is not the case at all. There are real professionals looking to steal your money and your data.
That is unbelievable. So, like, to me, ultimately, so let's just say on a small level, and we can talk about this on a larger level, like as a company, but my debit card gets stolen. They charge $2,000. All I know from a consumer standpoint is the bank gives me my money back. They're FDIC insured. I get my $2,000 back. At that point, that money that was originally gone, is that tracked? Is that traced somewhere? Because you always wonder, well, they're going to get the bad guy? And when they do they get them? Do they prosecute them? Is there any recourse?
So here's the catch. The catch is a lot of these cybersecurity criminals live outside this country.
Yes.
You know, because with the internet, you can be anywhere.
You can be anywhere.
So a lot of them are in our friends in Russia. They're in the Ukraine, they're in Eastern Europe, they're in Asia, they're all over the country, and a lot of these countries overseas, they don't have enforcement. They won't do anything about it.
So how confident are you? So let's say, okay, a company is aware of this, and they take the proper steps and precautions to make sure that their data cannot be breached, or they do whatever they can, but somebody's still going to hack it. It's if somebody still hacks in, because I almost feel like the hackers are always one step ahead of us, and then we have to be a little bit smarter, and then ultimately they can get in again. Like, at what, if that's the case, and if the company does everything that they can, but there's still a breach, are they responsible at that point?
Yeah, they would still be responsible.
They would still be responsible.
Yeah, but it would be up to the Attorney General too.
Yeah, because I mean, you can't really control somebody hacking in, but if you're taking all the proper measurements,
yeah, if you're taking all the proper steps, yeah, then I don't know what the Attorney General would do, but the law does have a reporting requirement. So if there is a breach, you have to notify all of your customers, all of your employees, that there was a breach.
A breach.
Within 45 days.
I've gotten that from Target. Remember that happened
to
Target like a year or two ago.
How happy were you when you got that Target notice, right?
Oh, I was.
Exactly. You'd be upset. I would be too.
Well, I'm always happy when Target contacts
me.
Home
Depot too. Home Depot had to do it too.
So we're going to come back with Eric in a little bit. We're going to finish this conversation because I think it's extremely interesting. So you are listening to IREM Today, the Property Management Show, and we will be right back after this.
Now back to IREM Today, the Property Management Show, with your hosts, Dina Cimarelli and Chrissy Denalian, on AM 790, your station for talk and business.
Okay, welcome back to IREM Today, the Property Management Show. It is 4:40 on Tuesday, March 7th. I am Dina Cimarelli, along with my co-host, Chrissy Denalian, and in studio today, we have Eric Shaw from Secure Future Tech Solutions. And before break, we were just, you know, talking about all kinds of interesting information about the law.
Security hacks.
Security hacks, yes, and all kinds of
those
precautions.
Evil hackers.
Those hackers.
Precautions you need to take. But, you know, Eric, you were saying something when we went to break. So tell me again the difference between what happens if you're a company versus an individual.
Well, so this is really important to know, that if it's a corporate account, or a corporate bank account, the banks do not have to give you your money back if you got hacked.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Personal accounts have different laws that require the banks to, you know, refund your money, but that is not the case in the corporate world. So we've been seeing a lot of hackers actually trick, you know, CFOs and other financial people into wire transferring money. That's happening a lot. It happens a lot actually in real estate.
Yeah.
You know, real estate closing attorneys get tricked into sending or wiring money to hackers. And once that money goes,
it's gone.
Yeah. You can't get that back.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things happening. That's why, you know, for businesses, we really owe it to ourselves and also all of our customers and employees to put up some defenses. You don't want to be that low-hanging fruit. You know, hackers, they can be kind of lazy too, you know.
Yeah.
They want to get into easy places.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you put up some defenses, like a good strong firewall, if you use email encryption, you know, so if you're sending out documents or confidential information, you never want to just email it.
Yep.
You want to encrypt it.
Mm-hmm.
Encrypt it scrambles it so nobody can read it.
Yep.
You know, you want to take certain steps to make sure you're protecting yourself and others.
That's interesting. So on the corporate end, so if you said, you know, if you have a corporate bank account, how the banks are not responsible to
refund them the money,
they must have some sort of insurance on their end that would protect them, that's separate from like a bank being FDIC insured.
Yeah, well, to protect yourself as a business, you know, both the banks and the individual business should have, you know, fraud protection in their insurance.
Yes, it's pretty amazing.
Yes. So we were also talking during break. We were talking about the differences, or, you know, I know that there are a couple of different specialties that your company specializes in. One being kind of the protection aspect of things from internal, like computers and things like that. From another standpoint, you were talking about security cameras and how they've been important as well.
Absolutely. So while we branched out into video surveillance solutions about 6 or 7 years ago, so the technology on video surveillance cameras changed. Just like all this great technology has been changing so fast, it happened in the video world as well, too. So the days of the fuzzy camera, analog, CCTV things where, you know what?
You can't really tell.
You can't tell who's who, right?
Yes. Right.
That's long gone now, because now we have network cameras. Mm-hmm. I like to think of them not even really as cameras, but computers with a lens.
Yeah. Right.
That's how smart they are.
Yeah.
And so they're high definition. We can view them from anywhere. You can view them from your iPhone easily.
Yes.
The best thing is we can use them for identification, and
yeah.
that's the really big thing. So we started, you know, for the property management companies that we were already maintaining their computers and network, we started offering video surveillance solutions as well. So it was a really nice add-on to something that all of the properties that we're working with, they needed these cameras.
So extra security. It must feel good to know that wherever you are, you can log in and kind of see what's going on.
If an incident happens, or, you know, a lot of times property management, it's a lot of slip and falls, I feel like, more than for incidents
that's a good way of looking at that.
It would be
that's
slip
right.
and falls, and I think that that's
a great
nice,
point, because
nice
you can
insurance.
Actually see what happens.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Because somebody can say that they slipped and fell on your property.
Oh, nobody
it
ever
was,
does
I,
that, right?
I fell. We're in Rhode Island. Come on. Everybody loves their lawsuits.
I tried going
here.
To one of Chrissy's properties when it was icy out, and
oh,
I tried to just
quiet,
fall
Elliot.
In front of her office, but she caught me, and she knew I was, like, just, you know, trying to collect.
I was like, where's your back brace?
Yeah.
No. But in cases like that, I mean, usually... I know with any instances that have happened, any incident reports that have happened in that aspect on our properties, I know that that's one of the first things that we want to look at. Like they say that they slipped and fell. I want to see what exactly happened.
Yeah, it can really help protect the company. It can help protect your residents. It can help with insurance as well. You know, if you have good systems in place,
lower liability,
it will definitely help you. Fight, you know, lawsuits where somebody's claiming something. And they're also great, too, to help prevent vandalism. You can, see who, you know, who's
people feel
doing
better.
Stuff.
Yeah.
I was actually out a few weeks ago in Massachusetts with some of my friends, and we came out, and my friend's car got hit. Of course, nobody said anything, so luckily he knew the person who had owned the establishment where we were, and he went in the next day, and sure enough, you see the two women... clear as day, like you're watching a movie, walk out of the I don't want to call it, it's like a restaurant / bar. They walk out, they walk right up to their car, there's their license plate, and they literally get into the Jeep, Jeep Cherokee, and they back into his car. You can see the car move, and then they just took off.
Oh.
And I could not believe what I was watching, because I'm saying to myself, like...
You knew it was going to happen.
You
but...
clearly hit this car. Like, right. There's no way they didn't feel that. That whole car shook. So, what he did was, of course, he put it on Facebook. When he went to go the next morning...
He didn't just call the police?
No, because...
Put it on Facebook.
Yeah.
Well, this is the world we're living in.
The police can look up
this
that plate pretty quick.
Yeah, I know.
Well, he said, you know, he just wanted his car fixed. So, and it was kind of a local spot. So what he did was he knew the person who would own the establishment. And while they were showing him the videos, he was filming it with his phone. So he had a few clips. So he said, if anybody knows this, just all you need to do is message me. I'll take it down and have them get in touch with me, or I'm going to go to the cops. Because he was trying not to do that, but he wanted his car fixed because... It was damn it. Like,
right.
It was dented. There was body work that needed to be done. Oh, and they hit his mirror. His mirror had come off. So, I mean, in an instance like that, I just couldn't believe, because I seen it.
So, wait.
A video of the
him?
Video, and it was that clear.
He got with Facebook.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Oh,
he didn't.
He didn't.
He didn't catch
Call
them.
Call the police.
No.
What's he
I
doing?
I don't know.
Call the police.
But, yes, it was pretty wild.
Yeah, they'll look that up. Yeah, they know where the person lives. If they have the license plate.
Oh, wait a minute. I think I'm wrong. I'm lying. I don't think he had the license plate, but everything else is true. No, he didn't have the license plate. It was the vehicle and the two women, and it was very clear, and there was a few different clips, and he did put it on Facebook, but I don't think that, I haven't talked to him in a little bit, but I don't think that he had found out who did it, but I just couldn't believe how clear the video was. Mm. It blew my mind, actually. I was like, wow.
Yeah, that's the high definition stuff that we're doing today for a lot of our properties. They work really well in low light as well.
And it was dark out. Yeah, it was like 1 o'clock in the morning.
It does really well in low light. And
so if anybody wants to get in touch with you, Eric, how would they do so?
Well, you can reach me at 401-921-2607 or sales@securefuturetech.com.
Great.
Securefuturetech.com. Say that's better than... Pacern Properties.
Right.
What is it? Pacern what? RealEstateGroup.com?
No.
Our long email extension.
Oh, my.
Well, because your last name is so long.
Yes,
no,
I
that's
am.
An easy one.
Yes.
All right, so we're actually going to take a quick break, yes. And then Eric will stay here with us. We'll wrap up with him. We'll
A couple of events
coming up. Eric's actually going to be speaking at one tomorrow. Right? All right, so you are listening to IRM Today, the Property Management Show, and we'll be right back after this.
All right, it is 4:51 here on IRM Today, the Property Management Show. I'm Chrissy Danilian, along with my co-host, Dina Cimarelli.
Hi.
Yes, we
and
are back.
And it's 4:52.
Is it? Now it is.
Well, it was, but that's okay.
All right. I'm sorry. I don't know
I'm just
time.
Looking at the little clock at the bottom of the monitor.
I don't know the time. What do you want?
Well, now you do. I just told you.
Okay.
Thank you, Dina.
Thank you very much. Instead of sassing me. So we have a couple of good events coming up. Tomorrow is actually we're having, what is it called?
It is called Trends in the Real Estate Industry. It is a breakfast. It is a seminar. It is an installation. Our main guest speaker is Chris Mellon. However, we have Eric Shore, who's in studio with us today. He will be speaking. What topic are you going to be speaking on tomorrow?
We'll be talking about the Rhode Island Theft Identity Protection Act.
Oh, you know, and some of the cyber today.
Yeah, some of the cybersecurity stuff. It's a really important message, so
absolutely.
I think everybody needs to hear it.
Perfect. So we're going to have Chris there. We're going to have Eric there. Chrissy and I will be there.
We will.
Registration has closed, but I'm sure.
I don't know about that.
Well, it says it's closed online, but if you show up with some money, Karen might let you in. I don't know.
Maybe. If there's room. Well, it's 11:49, and it's breakfast.
I mean,
so
you can always call Karen.
Registration, yeah.
Call her, 401-479-7734, and ask her if you can still come. It's, yes, like Chrissy was just saying, at 11:49 in Warwick.
Registration begins at 8:15, I think.
I'll probably be there around 8:30, 8:40. What time are you getting there?
I'll wait outside.
You're going to wait outside? You're going to eat some eggs with me? She said no. Okay, good. There's my co-host on the other side of the room. Awesome. Okay.
All right, well, I'll have breakfast.
Can you have breakfast with me?
Yes, absolutely.
My God. Who do you going to know around here? So, and then another event we have coming up, it's a half-day seminar.
Boot camp.
Half-day training, boot camp for property managers. And I kind of like the way you described this last week. It's kind of like Bootcamp 101, you know, if you're kind of
new to property management
and, you know, these are just something important topics that they're going to go over a little bit of everything within the half day that you're there. And it's at 12 Acres where our annual breakfast was at the beginning of the year.
And they're going to have a couple of attorneys there that are going to kind of give you a background of some of.
Yeah. So who we'll have? We'll have attorneys Turk and Jeff.
I think.
How do you say this last name? Quiano. I don't know. Michael Clinton of the Law Offices of Michael Clinton. So they'll be there. They'll be talking extensively on some of the topics such as tenant screening, understanding your lease and other legal mumbo jumbo, fair housing, evictions 101, and a bunch of other stuff. So you can still, let's see, registration closes at, it says today, March 7th. But call Karen.
You can go online, and I think you probably can register right through the website.
You cannot. It's gone. It's closed.
Oh, okay.
No, it's closed.
Okay.
I just clicked on it and said, sorry, you're out of luck.
There's a fair housing seminar, too,
there's
coming up.
There's a fair housing, Rhode Island Housing Workshop, April 4th. You can still sign up for that. It is not closed. Fair housing seminar, April 11th.
Which fair housing we've gone through a couple times. That is probably most important thing that you need to know in property management.
Oh, and OSHA. We have registered for OSHA General Industry Training this May 2nd and 3rd. This is new. I just it's going to be partnered with ARS.
About?
OSHA, just General OSHA. Industry Training. And I don't know what OSHA stands for. Do you? Does anybody? No? Well, Gem Plumbing, it's being hosted at Gem Plumbing in Lincoln, and they're partnering with ARS Restoration Specialists. Let's see, it's a two-day seminar, actually. Two full days, 9 to 3, both days. And you can also register for that online. So let's see, we were talking, Eric in studio today is a friend of IRM. He has a platinum membership, as do I, being with RentPath. And I, you know, found it extremely beneficial to become a friend of IRM. It was a year in December that I've been involved with IRM, and the same as Chrissy. Pacern's been involved for a while, but Chrissy specifically, her and I, we kind of gone through this last year together. But, I mean, just as far as networking and meeting people, it's been pretty tremendous for me. Have you had?
Oh, likewise. It's been great.
Yeah.
You know, Jack,
definitely benefits.
Jack Bentz from Property Advisory Group introduced us to IRM a couple of years ago. And so we've been members now, and it's really opened a lot of doors for us. It's been fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. Like I have to say, I've built some great relationships with, you know, properties that advertise with me, some that don't, but I've seen them at, you know, events, and we get to talking. And even some of the properties, for whatever reason, that weren't advertising, and let's just say, you know, I show up at their door and they give me the big sales no, I've kind of had them warm up to me through iRoom, and now they say yes. So it's kind of
the
power of persuasion. No, you just, you know,
it
you're
does.
Not
you
just, you know,
relationships.
Yeah, you build these relationships, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Chrissy, wrap it up. Talk to us about iTunes.
If you've
Where
missed
you
any
find
part
us?
Of the program, you can subscribe to us on iTunes by searching for iRoom Today. You can listen to our podcast on our website on iRoomRI.org.
And thank you, Eric,
yes,
for coming in and being
much.
A guest.
It's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure, and we look forward to...
And plug the website one more time.
Yes.
SecureFutureTech.com.
There we go. And if you come to the breakfast tomorrow, come say hi to myself, Chrissy, or Eric. We will all be there. Eric and I might be sitting together, and Chrissy will be in the kitchen.
Oh, my God. I have tons of people coming.
So to
we'll
learn more about iRoom, go to iRoomRI.org.
We'll
and
see you
we won't see you.
Next week.
We'll talk to you next week because you can't see us.
Bye.
All right, bye.
This episode of iRoom Today is brought to you by Secure Future Tech Solutions, your local IT partner providing information technology solutions. To consult with an IT expert today, call 401-921-2607 or visit them online at securefuturetech.com.